The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The Cardinals one out away from their 100th win and the Central Division title. Villanueva looks to third. The kick, the pitch, a swing and a miss. Cruz picks it up, throws to first base. That's a Redbird winner and a Central Division title for the St. Louis Cardinals.
That's John Rooney announcing the Cardinals' 100th win this season on the Cardinals Radio Network. With that, the Cards advance to the National League Division Series against the Chicago Cubs tomorrow night. Joining us to talk about that and everything that lays ahead in that series, Rick Horton. He's a regular guest, former pitcher for the Cardinals, Dodgers, and White Sox, and he's play-by-play announcer and analyst for the Cardinals. Rick, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Todd, always good to be with you. I always look forward to our chats, and it's an exciting time, certainly in the baseball world right now.
Well, tomorrow night we're going to have a pitching match between John Lackey and John Lester. How have the Cardinals fared against that Cubs pitcher and against left-handers in general this season?
Well, the Cardinals haven't hit lefties very well. That's kind of been an issue over the last few years. Lester, they did hit well early in the season in Chicago. Lester's kind of an odd guy. He's one of the game's best pitchers, but he has some quirky things. He can't throw to first base well, but and in some ways is better against right-handers and left-handers. Jason Hayward, in particular, has hit Lester well, so we'll see if he's part of the solution. The Cardinals got to find ways to get runs against him, but bottom line is it's going to be a fun series, Cardinals and Cubs. We've been waiting for this for a long time.
The Cubs are coming in a very, very strong team. This manager is really done amazing things. But what is their greatest strength?
Well, I think they're so young and they're so excited right now that they don't really know any better, and that's playing off pretty well for them. Sometimes, you know, you overthink things and you overplan things. Right now, they're just enjoying the ride. And I would say more than any team that's in the playoffs right now, the Cubs have that, I'm not sure what the right word is, mojo, that sense of destiny. And, you know, other teams can develop that and get that and have that by virtue of being in the playoffs. But the Cubs are riding a very hot winning streak right now. They're riding their youthful enthusiasm. And I just think their ceiling's pretty high. So they're not going to be easy to beat. But Cardinals certainly have been solid all season long. They won 100 games. Certainly capable of doing it.
What do you think the Cubs' biggest weakness is going into this series?
The Cubs strike out a lot as a team, and they also make a lot of errors. And it was pointed out in their wild card game against the Pirates that both the Cubs and the Pirates make a lot of errors, and it could be, you know, who catches the ball. I think the Cardinals catch the ball a little better than the Cubs do. On average, I would say you'd expect the Cardinals to be better defensively. And the question is, are the Cardinals going to be able to exploit the weaknesses of the Cubs? Because, again, they strike out a lot. Chris Bryant's a perfect example of that. He's one of the best young players in all of baseball right now, but he strikes out a lot. So you hit your spot, you can get him, you miss your spot, and he hits the ball a long way. And that's going to be the story for me, is how well the Cardinal pitchers throw the pitches where they want to and hit their spots.
On the issue of pitchers, how do you explain Lance Lynn's relative tailspin since the All-Star break?
Yeah, the best way I can describe Lance Lynn is when he's right, he's unhittable. But the problem with Lance is he's a little bit of a one-dimensional guy. And he's a 90-plus percent fastball pitcher. He's got a breaking pitch and a changeup that he uses every once in a while. But his real pitch is a fastball that he throws a couple of different ways with a lot of movement. So if his fastball isn't there, his command of it, not so much the velocity, but his command of it isn't there. He doesn't really have as much of a plan B as other guys do. So not that he's not capable of figuring it out, but he's so much better when his fastball is strike one, strike two. And so that's what I'll look for with Lance Lynn when it's his turn, is how well he's throwing that first pitch fastball for a strike.
Does Michael Wacha have the same problem, not a lot of pitches?
Yeah, Wacha has more pitches, but has the same problem in terms of command of his fastball. When his fastball is up, it is much more hittable. So his is an issue of actually being hittable and not so much walking guys. Lance Lynn has more of a walk issue, but Wacha has an issue of throwing the ball a little flatter, and the hitters know the difference. They can tell when a ball's going downhill with movement and when a ball is just flat in the middle of the strike zone. So Wacha, it all comes off your fastball, certainly with Wacha too, but for him, he's got a great changeup when he's right, good curveball too, and he's a great competitor too. I love that about him. He's a young guy, but he seems like he's got an older head.
The Cardinals have expressed confidence that Yadier Molina is going to be able to play well during this series. What do you think the challenges are there?
Well, you know, I think there's big challenges there, Todd. I think the big challenges are, you know, I think their expression that he's going to be able to play, I can buy. The expression he's going to be able to play well, I think, is a question, because if you've got a sore thumb and you got to catch a baseball with that thumb and you got to grip a bat with that thumb, I mean, that's the two things you do. I mean, that's what he does best. He catches and he hits, and he hits with runners in scoring position and gets big hits. But, you know, I think the proof's going to be in the pudding as far as how they create some splint for his thumb to make the baseball-related activities less painful. And I think, again, I still think that's a question, how easy that's going to be. I'm hopeful, but, you know, hope's not a strategy. You still have to figure out a way to actually make that happen. And I know they're feverishly working on getting him ready, and we'll just have to wait and see.
On other injury issues, Matt Holliday is, I people are expecting him to make the roster. Do you expect him to play much?
Yeah, I think he will. I think they've been kind of soft-pedaling him the last few games of the season because they didn't have to push him. But I think with the playoffs on hand and you know, the whole prize on the line, I think you're going to see him in the lineup every day. And I think you're going to see Grichuk in the lineup more. Grichuk has been nursing a sore right arm, but they'll play him in a place where maybe the damage will be minimal. And you at least got to get him more and more at-bats because he's such a potential threat. So the Cardinals have a lot of guys like that are kind of coming back from injuries. You know, I'm anxious to see what their final roster is going to be, because there's 30 guys that could be on it, but only 25 who will, because you've got all these guys coming back from injury.
Well, they have this glut of outfield players out there. How do you expect them to sort that out?
Well, that's a good question. You've got Holliday, who's a left fielder that can only play left field and is slightly injured. You've got Grichuk, a guy that can play anywhere, but he's best in left field too because he can't throw. So you're going to have to put Grichuk somewhere. My guess is they'll put Grichuk in right and they'll put Hayward in center, which is not optimal, but it's the optimal offense. And I think Mike Matheny's been on record lately as saying he's going to make offensive decisions, not defensive ones, because the Cardinals need offense. And so you put the best offensive team out there with the chance of scoring runs. I think that's what he'll do. And then they'll move. That means moving Piscotty to first base, which I think is, again, the best offensive choice right now. And then, you know, you just wait to see on matchups whether Matt Adams gets in that mix or Mark Reynolds or Brandon Moss. And you know, we'll just have to see who the other outfielders are actually on the roster, because that's even in question right now.
We had that big scare with Stephen Piscotty's outfield collision, and there he is bouncing back as though nothing happened. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think I don't want to say miraculous, because that trivializes the word miracle, which I don't want to do. But let's just say nobody was predicting him to come back within a week and to be able to play, because he was knocked out cold. You know, the outfielders that came upon him, I know, Todd, that they thought, I don't know if he's breathing. I mean, that was their initial thought. He was so knocked out, and they wondered if something worse had happened to him. And for a moment, there was kind of just panic. And I got to say, my favorite part of that moment, and that's a bad way to put it, but the redeeming part of that moment was the Pittsburgh fans, who gave first of all, they were incredibly quiet and respectful while he was laying on the ground for what seemed like 10 minutes or more, 20 minutes. And then when he stood up, they were gracious and they applauded him in a very, very real way. And I'll never forget that moment. And I hope it's not lost on Stephen Piscotty, who wasn't really feeling it or conscious very much of what was going on. But I think in the rearview mirror, he's going to realize that there's a way to appreciate the way people are supposed to treat each other. And that certainly went on there in Pittsburgh.
Rick Horton is our guest. We're talking about the National League Division Series between the St. Louis Cardinals and the Chicago Cubs. He's a former pitcher for the Cardinals, Dodgers, and White Sox. We'll be right back.
Well, the Cardinals have tradition, and each year they have a mission to end up in the Classic in the fall.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us and encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Hollywood's attitude toward Christianity, the Bible's influence on the U.S. Constitution, the decline of biblical preaching, the connection between biblical illiteracy and Western morality. You'll find these essays and more in the new book, The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, The Place of the Holy Scriptures in the Faith and Life of Confessional Lutherans. Check it out at shop.logia.org. The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, shop.logia.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday, October the 8th, we're talking about the National League Division Series between the St. Louis Cardinals and the Chicago Cubs. Rick Horton is our guest, former pitcher for the Cardinals, Dodgers, and White Sox, and a play-by-play announcer and analyst for the Cardinals. Rick, there was some controversy about throwing at batters the last time these two teams, the Cubs and the Cards, met. Do you expect this to boil over into this series?
Yeah, I think it might. I mean, honestly, I think it's becoming the Cubs are getting a little, they're getting a little edgy on that subject, because it's not just with the Pirates and the Cardinals, but it's with other teams. They had that going on with the Reds too. I think the Cubs are trying to assert that they're not just going to lay down and be the lovable losers that people have said they were in the past. So they feel like they have to assert something, and it's taking the form of you know, being aggressive in a lot of ways on the base paths and the way you pitch. And I will say, though, I think it might happen. I think it certainly could happen. But I got to say, when I heard Jake Arrieta's comments after the game, I don't know how many people actually heard those, but he pitched wonderfully against Pittsburgh, but he was a part of that little deal. His comments after the game were as good as I've heard. He was very gracious towards the Pirates. And he said, "Look, I hit a couple of their guys. I didn't do it on purpose, but I can see how that would make the Pirates mad. And they took care of business. They defended their teammates as they should. We're done with it." I thought that was a pretty nice way to sum it up. That kind of sums up my feelings about it. But I think it summed up that this Arrieta guy is a little bit better than, or a little bit more than, just a good pitcher.
The big question mark, of course, is our ace, or former ace, I guess you could say, ace in waiting, Adam Wainwright. Are you confident that he can contribute to the Cards pitching staff in the postseason?
I can't believe I'm saying it, but yes, after watching him on the last road trip and watched Hawaii and everything that he did, all the pitches that he threw, he was, I mean, there was no command problem with his fastball. There was no velocity problem. His curveball was sharp. So it was the vintage Wainwright. Plus, I was starting to see develop this reliever mindset that he used to have when he was first a Cardinal in the big leagues. He was the closer in 2006. He threw those last pitches of a World Series championship team. That's what his job was. And he developed this kind of bulldog, intense persona as a reliever. And I think he's going to carry that into some seventh and eighth inning work during this series. I think they'll use him late. I think the fact that he throws a curveball is a good pitch to have against the Cubs. The Cubs really like the Pirates' fastball hitting team. You throw a good curveball, you got him. Wainwright's got the best curveball around, so I think that'd be a good neutralizer against the Chicago Cubs. So I think we'll see him being used in key situations late in games, and wouldn't be surprised if we don't see him three or four different times during the series.
A couple of general questions. Playing at home, is that as big a factor in baseball as it is in football, basketball, or hockey?
I'd say it is in certain ballparks. When you go around baseball, there are certain places that have a presence that you get in the NFL. You certainly get it in the NHL, too. You just get that home ice, home field advantage that just, I mean, it's the noise, it's the influence, it's the pressure. And, you know, places like St. Louis are one of those places where there's clearly a home field advantage. I think the players are more comfortable playing at home. You're playing in front of your people. You get that little extra encouragement. Baseball, for sure, is a game that's played a lot between the years. All sports are. But baseball is really a thinking man's game. And, you know, you're standing around for 3 hours to do about 5 minutes worth of work every day. So where you are mentally at any given time is critical. And if the crowd can get you, can help keep you focused, if it can help you from spiraling into a negative direction, you know, it's certainly an advantage, and I expect it to be during this series.
How big a factor is postseason playoff experience?
I think it's a big help. I think, you know, there are times you run into a team, as I said earlier about the Cubs, that maybe they're just kind of brainless about it. And, you know, Anthony Rizzo was asked, are you feeling pressure now that you're in the playoffs? He said, we don't have any pressure. What are you talking about? And I think he was sincere about it. And almost, I don't want to say ignorance is bliss. I'm not calling him ignorant. But I think there are times where you can just kind of fall into the pressure of the playoffs and not even know you're feeling it. But I think the fact that you've been there and done that, you can, you know, there's some things that are different about the playoffs. There's different demands on your time. When you walk to the ballpark, you know, you have 200 media people, not 10 covering your game. It's just mayhem everywhere. And so if you're the kind of guy that, you know, is distracted easily, first time you're in the playoffs can be rough. And, you know, I suspect that the experience that the Cardinal players had will do them well.
So be honest, did you expect Jesus to return before a Cards-Cubs postseason series?
Oh, the great theological question. Well, in my theology, I'm supposed to be expecting him any minute. I mean, I got to be prepared every minute of every day. I haven't been prepared every minute of every day to be seeing the Cubs in the playoffs. So I guess the answer to your question is I've thought more about Jesus coming back than I have the Cubs being in the World Series. But, you know, I don't know what the average theologian would say about that, but I, in my mind, if Jesus comes back before the seventh game of the World Series, if the Cubs happen to be in it, it's okay with me.
Here's the big question for you. If they manage to take us out in this series, are you going to be rooting for the Cubs for the remainder?
Well, that's a really good question. I had to wait for the second inning of the game last night to realize who I'm rooting for. I don't know. Some fans are like this. I'll watch football games that way. I'm not sure my rooting interest till I get into it. Good friends with Clint Hurdle of the Pirates, Christian friend and brother and guy I've known for a long time. So by about the second inning, I realized that trumped any excitement about a Cubs-Cardinals. So I was rooting for the Pirates. So that didn't work out. So I guess I'm not sure. I found myself rooting for the Royals last year, but wouldn't have been sure that's what I was doing till I got to game one of the World Series. So I guess I'll just have to wait and see. It depends on who they play. You know, if the Cubs are playing the Royals again, I'd be going for the Royals. If the, I, I pretty sure that's where I'd be. But sometimes I think that rooting interest just kind of evolves. But right now I'm trying to block that thought of having to determine whether or not I'm rooting for the Cubs or not.
Before we let you go, tell us what's coming up for the Greater St. Louis Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Well, Todd, this year we're celebrating 50 years of influence and ministry in the Greater St. Louis area, and everything that we're doing. We have golf tournaments, we have dinners, we have a big gala. Adam Wainwright is speaking at our gala in November in St. Louis. We have a golf tournament that we're having in Washington, Missouri, that's coming up on Monday. So we do have some fundraising events, and certainly the campus ministry is up and going in a way that we've never had this level of influence before. We have over 175 schools that have huddles in them, where kids are meeting to talk about their faith, and what, how do you compete and coach in a godly way. And so we're very excited about the outreach that's going on in these huddles and the chance for Christian kids to have fellowship on their public and private school campuses. But the overarching thing is that God has been gracious enough to allow us to minister to athletes and coaches in St. Louis for 50 years. And there's a legacy of people that started it, and we're trying to continue that on throughout this year and then beyond.
Folks, you can find out more about the Greater St. Louis Fellowship of Christian Athletes at our website, issuezetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call 636-827-7100. That's 636-827-7100. Rick Horton is a former pitcher for the Cardinals, Dodgers, and White Sox. He's play-by-play announcer and analyst for the Cardinals, and he's multi-area director for the Greater St. Louis Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Rick, thank you very much.
Todd, always good to be with you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll have Pastor Ted Giese review the movie The Martian. We will find Christ in Psalm 90 with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. And it's This Week in Pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseboro. That's all tomorrow on Issues Etc. Do you want to keep listening to Issues Etc.? We get the best of 24/7, and you can listen right on the new Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Or you'd like sacred music this evening and easy listening, the kind that doesn't cost you anything. Sacred music 24/7 on the new Lutheran Public Radio app. You can find both of them there. Download it for your iPhone, your Android, your Windows phone, or Kindle at issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition, a comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn by heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.